Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive, positively into summer months around here doing our Maryland Crab Cake Tour in, I love the word unconventional. Phil Jackman's daughter used that in regard to Earl Weaver's relationship with Phil Jackman, who referred to Earl Weaver as Spanky in writing on many, many occasions. And when you think of Earl Weaver and Spanky, and you think about the old argument with Haller, you know, it's, or what Ken Kaiser would say at that point. The Maryland Lottery brings us the Back to the Future scratch-offs. We're going to be, we're at the Y earlier this week. We're going to be in Reader's Crab House up in Reisterstown on the 26th. That's next, gosh, that's coming up already next Thursday. We're also going to be at Costas in Timonium on the 12th of July. We're going to be at 1623 Brewing. I've put a whole ad together. You'll hear it here at WNST. You can find it out at Baltimore Positive. It is all brought to you by our friends at Curio Wellness. I'm wearing my Curio Wellness purple shirt, which can only mean one thing. Luke Jones has been out on the fields with the real Lamar Jackson, the real MVP, as voted on by you and Jameson Hensley and a whole bunch of other people who have press credentials as I don't. How are things in Owings? How's Chad? How's John? How's Eric? How are things?
Things are good. I mean, the whole band's in town for a two-day mini camp. And
I even hear the billionaire is out. Breathing the same air as the serfs.
I saw Steve Bisciotti, albeit very briefly. But, yeah, he's there. And they have the entire 90-man roster other than Ardarius Washington, who's hurt, and Emory Jones, our third-round pick, who's also hurt but should be ready for training camp. So all accounted for, everyone there. Everyone looks healthy. Guys running around. Even a couple guys that were banged up last week, Bo Braid and Chidobe Awuzie, they were back on the field. So, you know, just enough to – give you a little taste, a little preview of training camp, and then they're going to go away for 5 weeks again, right? And then 5 weeks from now, it starts for real. Then, you know, you start ramping up, you put the pads on. All these young guys that have made impressions in the spring, we'll see if we say their name again, right? I mean, I always kind of allude to some of those spring all-stars, guys that look great in helmets and shorts, but, you know, you put the pads on and suddenly they shrink a little bit, but you know, pretty uneventful day as far as what was on the field on Tuesday. And that's what you kind of expect during minicamp. You don't want to get anyone hurt. But afterwards, we heard from Lamar Jackson. We heard from DeAndre Hopkins. We heard from T. Martin, the quarterback's coach, who talked about Lamar, talked about Cooper Rush, their new backup quarterback, who got plenty of reps this spring to kind of get up to speed. But, you know, I mean, with Lamar, the big takeaways were going out of his way. I mean, he wasn't even asked about Mark Andrews directly. I think he was asked about DeAndre Hopkins at the time, and he kind of pivoted mid-thought to really defend Mark Andrews, just in terms of what kind of player he is, what he means to him, you know, how important he's been to the Ravens, all that. And he was asked, as you would expect, about Jaire Alexander, his former Louisville teammate, and his quote was, "Go get him, Eric," you know, and he provided the caveat knowing like, hey, I know it's business, all that, but go get him, Eric. So, you know, those are kind of the headlines from Lamar. And, you know, first time we've really heard from him at length since January. But, you know, nothing earth shattering. Just, you know, asked about January, asked about Buffalo, asked about the next step, asked about DeAndre Hopkins. And it was about what you would expect to hear from the two-time MVP quarterback.
Throwing it around.
Yeah. I mean, I'd say this. I mean, I talked about this a little bit when we were talking about OTAs, and you certainly notice a difference, right? When it's Lamar Jackson operating the offense compared to Cooper Rush, who
I hope so.
Yeah. I mean, of course. And I don't mean that, you know, I don't mean that as any kind of a slight to Lamar or even the other guys. I mean, it's clearly a difference, right? I mean, you're talking about a $52 million quarterback compared to Cooper Rush, who's, you know, with incentives might be a $3 or $4 million quarterback. I mean, and you're hoping he doesn't have to play at all. Right. I mean, that's how it works, but you know, you certainly notice a difference. And I said this to you, even when Lamar was around for the first week of OTAs, I mean, looked great. Trenton Simpson picked him off once during 7-on-7s. I mean, good for Trenton Simpson, right? I mean, a confidence builder for a guy they need to be better at linebacker next to Roquan Smith, but you know, throwing it around, I think something that, really kind of stood out, having talked to Lamar and DeAndre Hopkins, is, you get the sense that they're going to be able to build a rapport, and sooner than later. I think they brought in DeAndre Hopkins for a very clear purpose, a guy that can win on the outside a little bit more than some of the receivers they've had in recent years, a guy that can win some 50-50 balls. One thing we've talked about a lot with Lamar and the passing game and this offense, and it's really a credit to Todd Monken and the wide receivers as well, but Lamar making the right decisions, making throws on time, all that. But most of what they do with their passing game, because their offense is so dynamic, because you have the threat of the quarterback who can run at any time, because you have Derrick Henry, because you have all these weapons, you look at the metrics. Lamar Jackson threw to open or wide open receivers as much as anyone in the league last year. And that's not a slight on anyone. That speaks to how great the operation is overall. But also understanding that there are times that you have to throw it into coverage. You have to throw it into a tighter window. You have to ask a wide receiver to say, "Hey, this is a route where you've got to win a 50-50 ball." That's why they brought in DeAndre Hopkins, not to be a number one wide receiver. He's not that anymore. They're not paying him to be a number one wide receiver. They're not paying him to be a number two wide receiver. They're paying him to be a better version of Nelson Aguilar. They're paying him to be a better version of what Odell Beckham Jr. was 2 years ago, right? I
Well,
said
how
to
much
you,
is he going to be on the field? I mean, that's a question for me in two tight end, three wide receiver. You got Derrick Henry, who you won't get. I mean, there's
sure.
one football, and a lot of you, and I'll throw it to you because I just want to beat on you in the summer, want Lamar to run more or run 8 to 10 or 12 times. We sort of expect him to do that, right? In addition to throw the ball however many times he throws it in order for them to need to win, but for Hopkins, this is a little dreamy that he isn't in any way the focus of things because in his prime, he was the guy you had to worry about when you went to Houston.
Yeah, I mean, in his prime, I mean, you're talking about a guy, a five-time Pro Bowl wide receiver, a guy that won all pro select, had all pro selections. I
You
mean,
wrote whole off seasons about how the Ravens need to make their
needed a
defense
guy like
better
that.
to defend him because they didn't have anything like that, right?
Or they needed a guy like that,
Oh,
for years and
sure.
years.
Of
Sure,
course,
I mean,
sure.
going back to Joe Flacco even for
Well, he
years, but
stunk. I mean, he couldn't throw the ball to a guy like, I mean, what would they want? Why would they want DeAndre Hopkins in his prime for Joe Flacco?
well, hey,
Or Derrick Henry for that matter. But hey, it's a
why.
dream team here. They keep doing everything I tell them to do now. Eric, I appreciate you still listening out there, man.
They just need to do it in January, right? I mean, that's what it's all about. But I think with Hopkins, it's a very specific skill set. Look, to answer your question, he's not going to be on the field every play, not even close to it. And you don't really want him to at age 33. I mean, you want it to be more of a specialized role. They're going to be in 11 personnel. When I say 11 personnel for the novice, it's one running back, one tight end, three wide receivers. They're going to be in that personnel because they were in that personnel more last year than they had been under, certainly going back to Greg Roman a couple years ago. So you're going to see that, but he gives them another option on the outside. He gives them someone who can make contested catches. He gives them another target inside the red zone. Is he going to be a 1,000-yard receiver? No, I don't expect that. If he is, that means probably something's happened to Zay Flowers or Rashad Bateman, or the tight ends aren't healthy, or their running game isn't quite as insane as it normally is. But I think there's absolutely a path for him to be a guy that, I don't know, 500, 600 receiving yards, but also catches five or six touchdowns, right? And again, I'm just spitballing here. That's not my serious projection that I'm trying to crunch the numbers. But
Well,
to your
first things,
point,
get him on the field 14 out of 17 games,
and
right? Or
obviously,
whatever that number is,
right.
right?
And that's obviously so critical when you're talking about veteran players. So, I mean, he played last year. I mean, obviously, he started out the year with the Titans. He was traded to Kansas City. What was interesting about his year with the Chiefs was you would think it'd be the opposite, but he made more of an impact early on when he was acquired by the Chiefs. He kind of faded from their offense down the stretch. I mean, I think he caught a touchdown in the Super Bowl, but remember, they were getting boat raced at that point in time by the Eagles. He didn't make a massive impact, but you look at his collective work in 2024 for the Titans and for the Chiefs. Albeit, the Ravens have a much different offense than either of those teams. I mean, Tennessee didn't have a quarterback last year that they had any trust in. And, Kansas City is Kansas City, right? And he was coming in trying to swim upstream, in the middle of the season. But you look at his collective numbers in 16 games, 56 catches, 610 yards, five touchdowns. If the Ravens get something like that from him as the number three wide receiver who's making $5 million a year, he's making $5 million this year. Not saying you're doing like you're throwing a parade for him, but I think you'll take that.
Well, he's independently wealthy. He's here. He's only here for one reason. He wants to win. I mean,
He wants to play with
he
Lamar and he
wants to
wants
play
to win.
Lamar, right? I mean, so like you've a motivated workforce is always good, especially this time of year. You can ask like the Bengals or some other places where, people in Pittsburgh wondering what Aaron Rodgers, there's a lot of questions going on. But when you have veteran guys that want to be in the organization, and that's been a testament to Ozzie and Eric and the whole place. I mean, veteran players want to sign and play with the Ravens, whether it's Steve Smith, whether it's Eric Weddle, just go down the list. They're good at that, and they're good at many times being able to maximize whatever this is. Sometimes it doesn't work out, but keep him on the field is the first thing. If he's on the field, will he be productive? I believe he will be. I check off on this one.
I mean, again, for me, it's a simplistic way of looking at it because he's not going to do exactly the same things, but is he going to be better than Nelson Aguilar was last year? Is he going to be better than what Odell Beckham was 2 years ago? And if the answer is yes, then it's $5 million well spent. And to be clear, that's not a high bar, right? That's not him needing, he's not going to be the guy that he was in Houston. I mean, this was at his peak, he was a 1,500 yard, 11, 12, 13 touchdown kind of wide receiver. I mean, one, he's not that guy anymore. Two, they don't need him to be that guy. So he comes in. You hope that he acclimates himself well. You hope that he's a good presence for Zay Flowers and Rashad Bateman, who are still very young wide receivers. Give them a few tricks to the trade, that a 33-year-old who's been in the league a decade should have and has accumulated at this point in time. And, be good on third down, win on the outside, make some contested catches, make some catches in the end zone, right? I mean, that doesn't need to be an 1,100 yard receivers. That's why I said all along, my quickest reaction to him is it's very much like the Odell Beckham signing 2 years ago, except at a much more appropriate price point, right? I mean, he's 33, and he did wear down. He did kind of fade out of Kansas City's offense last year. It might be a sign that he's close to being done, or maybe it was just a sign of, hey, Kansas City also had Xavier Worthy that was emerging, and they got Hollywood Brown back at the end of the season, Kelsey was rounding in the form, right?
Well, this
So,
offense here has a lot of ways to beat you that don't include DeAndre Hopkins, and
no
just the
question.
name itself jumping out in lights is its own little thing, right? But it's also like Derrick Henry better be the one beating you. Lamar Jackson better be. Mark Andrews, Zay Flowers. Let's go
No
down the list
question.
here. Isaiah Likely. I mean, all of them are going to be, I think, bigger parts of this. But I don't, I'm not going to discount how important Nelson Aguilar was or how important DeAndre Hopkins can be on a third and seven when you have Lamar on the field. Maybe you don't have Derrick Henry on the field at that point, that he could get the ball. And,
No question. I mean, you want him to be a good complementary piece. And that's what they signed him to be. $5 million that's a complementary wide receiver in this day and age. I mean, it sounds kind of crazy to think back, well, it's $5 million, but I mean, the elite of the elite wide receivers now are getting $30 million a year. That's why, going back a couple of weeks ago, I made mention of the Bateman deal. And hey, what does that mean for Zay Flowers in a couple of years? I mean, who knows? I mean, we're going to have to see where this team is roster-wise, cap-wise, production-wise, all of that. But, in the meantime, you bring in someone who has the kind of profile that Hopkins has. And as long as your expectations are reasonable, I think this can be a really nice signing for them. I said that at the when they signed him. I mean, he wants to be here. Remember, there had been a couple different points. You go back to Lamar with the contract talk a couple years ago. Remember, who did he want? He wanted Odell Beckham Jr. and DeAndre Hopkins. Well, DeAndre Hopkins was under contract at that point in time with Arizona, so they signed Beckham. They overpaid and they signed Beckham. You know, there was a Lamar tax there, right? I mean, looking back at it in hindsight, they obviously overpaid. But, you know, if that helped get the deal done with Lamar in a long-term sense, it was worth it, even if Beckham was no better than fine at his best for the Ravens when he was healthy. But, you know, I think, again, the motivation that you mentioned, he wants to win. He got to the Super Bowl last year, didn't win it. Could he have re-signed with Kansas City? I mean, I don't know. I mean, it didn't seem like there was a whole lot of juice for the Chiefs to bring him back. I don't know that for certain. But he signed pretty quickly with the Ravens, and he signed very quickly for very cheap. So it speaks to he wanted to play in Baltimore, specifically wanted to play with Lamar Jackson. You know, keep in mind, albeit briefly, you know, you looked at, you know, him with. I guess, yeah, he was with Derrick Henry 2023.
Correct. Yeah.
I was thinking for a second that Derrick Henry, they missed each other by a year, but no, they played together
I
in
was also
Tennessee.
wondering how much time he spent with Deshaun Watson too, because he was there before Watson was. So.
Well, I mean, he was 2013 was his
Right.
first year in the league. I mean, and he was remember, he was a guy that was not like a top 10 kind of pick. He was 27th overall. In 2013. So it's a shame he didn't fall a few more spots. Would have been interesting to see if the Ravens would have taken him rather than Matt Elam that year. But, you know, water under the bridge 12 years later. But, you know, this guy's had a terrific career. And, you know, he's had some injuries in his career, but it hasn't necessarily been, oh, he's had plenty of years. Going through 2013, 16 games, 14, 16 games, 2015, 16 games, 16 games, 15 games, 16 games, 15. So get to 2021 and 22. He did have some injuries those 2 years, but 2023, 17 games. Last year, 16 games, and that was even being traded in the middle of the year. So this has been a pretty durable player. Durable. I always say it, guys are durable until they're not anymore. And fully acknowledging he's 33, so you never quite know. But on paper, again, for $5 million, doesn't mean you have to be doing cartwheels over it, but there's no reason to dislike this deal. I said that at the time when they signed him. There's no reason under the sun to not like this deal. Doesn't mean you have to love it, doesn't mean that you have insane expectations because you shouldn't. But I think he gives them something in their passing game that they haven't necessarily had a whole lot of. It's another guy that wins on the outside. Lamar has, if you look at the metrics, as much as part of the reputation for Lamar as a passer going back a couple years ago was what? He couldn't throw outside the numbers as well. The numbers suggest he's been way better in that department over the last couple years than he had been earlier in his career. So if he has, give yourself another weapon that can win on the outside and can make more contested catches and, you know, turn a 50-50 ball into, I don't know, a 70-30 ball, which is, you know, kind of in his career. I mean, that guy has made contested catch after contested catch. And the other thing about Hopkins that I think is interesting when you kind of think about it, he's played with a lot of different quarterbacks. I mean, think about it. Who did this guy start out playing with? This guy was playing with Matt Schaub. That speaks to how long he's been in the league, that Matt Schaub was his quarterback in Houston once upon a time. So, but he's played with a lot of quarterbacks and some of them not great. And he's still been the productive player that he's been. So, you know, obviously this summer is going to be big for Lamar and Hopkins to build the kind of rapport that they need to build. And it's got to fit. It's got to make sense. To your point, he's not going to be on the field every snap, nor should he.
I'm thinking Case Keenum. You got me.
But I mean, you think about it. I mean, okay, he was with Kyler Murray in Arizona, but Kyler Murray's had some injuries. I mean, Tennessee, I mean, they tried to make Will Levis a thing, and you see how much they thought of that. They pivoted to Cam Ward with the first pick this year. So, you know, he's played with some good quarterbacks too, don't get me wrong, but he's played with some quarterbacks that have left something to be
Boy, he's got Lamar
desired.
in his prime here. He should be okay.
Yeah, no question. I mean, whatever is left of DeAndre Hopkins at this point in his career, you'd like to think that the Ravens can maximize it given everything else you have. This guy doesn't have to. This isn't the Ravens signing Jeremy Maclin in 2017 and he's being miscast as a number one wide receiver because they don't have anyone better, right? This is a situation where Zay Flowers was a Pro Bowl wide receiver last year. Zay Flowers had 1,000 yards last year. Bateman is coming off of a career high kind of season and looked the part of, okay, maybe not a number one, but he's a rock solid number two wide receiver. Yeah, you have Andrews and Likely, right? You have a running game that's the best in football. So yeah, come in and be part of the gang. Come in and be part of what this is, which is a really explosive offense that, should have no problem scoring points week in and week out, right? And come in, and it might be as simple as this. Yeah, DeAndre, you might not have big time numbers, but if you help the Ravens win in week one in Buffalo because you make a key catch on third down, or you make a big touchdown catch in the divisional round when you're playing Kansas City, these are the this is what we're at this point, right? I mean, this, part of our sparring back and forth about Derrick Henry last year, it still came back to the same premise that we both had, which was this is all about winning in January. Everything you do, yes, you have to win in the regular season to get to that point, but everything you do, you're thinking in the back of your mind, how is this helping us beat the Chiefs? How is this helping us beat the Bills? How is this helping us beat Cincinnati if we're playing them in January? How does this help us beat the Texans? Go down the list of anyone that you think is going to be in the field come January. Everything is about January, right? It all comes back to that. So DeAndre Hopkins, this for me, this isn't a guy that I'm thinking in terms of volume with production. This is moments in time that he can help you win games, help you do very specific things in very specific spots, and help you win games. And not saying he's guaranteed to do that, but I think that's really what I would have in mind when I'm talking about expectations for DeAndre Hopkins. Can he help you be better in situational football, situations that maybe the Ravens haven't been quite as good at? And there haven't been many of those, but certainly in January we've talked about that about it in those terms. So can he rise to the occasion and make some big plays and flash that what he used to be as a 1,500 yard receiver in a couple of spots here and there.
Luke Jones is here. He will be there in Owings Mills as long as they allow him to be there. I will be here as long as, well, our creator is willing. It is summertime around here. The Orioles are on the road. They're up in Yankee Stadium this weekend. We're taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour on the road. We'll be in Reisterstown next week. We're going to be out in Eldersburg. We're going to be back in Timonium. I had dinner at the New Costas on Monday night. Had a little salmon St. Michael's over there. It was delicious. I'll be doing that in July with Johnny O, our congressman. So we got a lot of things going on. I defended democracy last week. Last thing on the Ravens. For me and your observations out there of how things are going and Malachi Starks and just Chuck Pagano, you just in a general sense, I look at what's going on in other places and I think to myself, they've got it pretty good right now. And I'm not a wagerer, but if I open things up, if they're not a top 3 to 5 choice, I'd be shocked to win a Super Bowl, right? Like based on health, offseason, where they are, holes, perceptions of Roquan Smith and Marlon Humphrey, and just all of it. All that being said, the kicker. And I'm waiting on the NFL investigation. Is there any word on that, Edward Murrow? We have anything on that?
Nothing to this point, right? I mean, I think a big, say what we want, and obviously you have said a lot, I've said a lot, everyone said a lot about how the Ravens handled that whole thing, but the fact that they moved on when they did and they kind of pivoted from talking about we're going to defer to the league to the point where they then released Justin Tucker, it speaks to the timing not necessarily being swift, right? So I mean, I think logic would tell you that they'd like to probably try to do it sometime during the dead period, which is coming up here over the next 5 weeks, as dead as the NFL gets over the calendar year. But I don't know. Maybe it does drag out longer than that. I have no idea. But, Tyler Loop, unfortunately, he struggled the last couple times we've been out there. I mean, I thought it was interesting. So this was last Wednesday because they canceled last Thursday, which was the final OTA day. Steve Bisciotti was there. And to that point in time, Loop had been excellent. You know me, man. I'm not the guy at this point in my life who's watched enough OTAs over the years that's going to make too much of anything, good or bad. And I want to be clear about that because this isn't me burying Tyler Loop either, because that would be absurd at this
You
point.
don't even think the quarterback needs to be there, but that's
But
another story altogether.
oh, Tyler Loop needs to be there, certainly. But with Steve Bisciotti, he was there last Wednesday. And I thought, okay, this is kind of interesting because Tyler Loop, to this point, it's OTAs, right? He came in rookie camp. You know, they liked what they saw. They moved on from Tucker at that point in time. He's gone through OTAs. I know from having even talked to some people in the organization, they'd been really happy with what they've seen from him. By the way, John Hoyland, the other kicker, I think has looked good too. But they got to last Wednesday. Loop had a rough day. He went, I think it was 5 for 9 with field goals. And I did think it was just interesting looking at it through the lens of, okay, maybe he hasn't felt pressure because OTAs, you know, it's May and June. Like you're not even having like a real line of scrimmage where the defensive line's trying to block the kick. We're not having any of that. So, you know, he'd been perfect until that point, for lack of a better term. I mean, maybe he'd missed a field goal here or there, but had been largely perfect, you know, in the context of what they want to see from him this time of year. But he missed 5 of 9, and then he was 2 of 4 on the first day of mandatory minicamp. Do I think that means that Tyler Loop's in trouble or the Ravens are in trouble or anything like that? No, I don't. I don't think it's appropriate to overreact in the same way that I'm not ready to say that he's going to be peak Justin Tucker this coming fall. But it is something to monitor. And as I, the thing that I will say that I think has been reinforced by the fact that Tyler Loop's had a couple rough days and Hoyland was 4 for 4 on Tuesday.
That's why they have two kickers, by the way,
That's
so they
why they
sh
have two kickers. And I
right.
want to continue to remind over and over and over, yes, the Ravens used a sixth round pick on Tyler Loop. And yes, there's even a perception that I've gathered that he's the only kicker that they viewed in their mind as being, quote, draftable, right? From what I've gathered, it sounds like there's not another kicker that they would have drafted. That said, it's a sixth round pick. You and I could go through the list right now of sixth round picks who the Ravens didn't even
They
make it
cut
to
six
week
round
one.
picks the way I walked out of movies.
Exactly. So that's not to say they don't love Tyler Loop. That's not to say that he's in trouble. That's not me overreacting to two rough practices. It's a reminder to say that all along, and I said this even before they signed John Hoyland, before they got rid of Justin Tucker, I said, even if Tyler Loop, you know, even if they get rid of Tucker, they're going to bring in competition for this kid. So it's game on. Starting in late July, for the first time in a long time, I'm going to be tracking kicks with regularity. I didn't do that with Justin Tucker over the last decade because what was the point, right? I mean, the guy was the best kicker in football. I'm not going to sit here and breathlessly track his kicking percentage during practices, but you know they're going to be keeping track of those situations with Loop and with Hoyland now. So I just found it interesting that they had Steve Bisciotti. And I don't think this was like a deliberate thing that the Ravens did. I think Steve Bisciotti just wanted to come to practice and probably said, hey, how's the new kicker looking? Like, you know, how's our Justin Tucker successor looking? So it was
Well, he
interesting
owns the
that,
team. He doesn't even need to be accountable.
well, but he's good. He was in, I'm sure he was interested to see how he did. And well, it didn't look, hasn't looked great the last couple times out there. Again, not overreacting to that, not sitting here saying that that means Hoyland's going to be the guy, but it does, you know, it does confirm what I had kind of, what we talked about a couple months ago, where you're going to bring in competition because a sixth round pick is a sixth round pick.
And finding guys who kick 60-yard field goals on the regular is not just going to happen.
Well, and to be clear, I don't think that's even the problem. Loop's got a great leg. I mean, this guy,
He's got to make 42-yard field
huge
goals,
with the game on the line, right?
49 out of 50.
He's got to be consistent, right? I mean, and that was the thing. Even though Tucker, the last couple years, we had talked more and more about him not being nearly as reliable beyond 50 yards, and that was true. And that, to be clear, you need that as well, to be very clear. But what you really want is you got to make the layups, you got to make the mid-range jumpers, right? I mean, even though it sounds funny saying that because the mid-range jumper is kind of fallen away from the NBA game at this point in time because it's dunks or
There
three-pointers.
are no Bernard Kings.
But you need a kicker that can do that, right? You need a kicker that's going to consistently make those 42-yarders, right? I mean, so Loop's got him. His leg, I'll take over I'll take that right with Justin Tucker in his prime in terms of leg talent, let's call it. But he's got to be consistent. And, he hasn't been as consistent the last couple times out. I'll leave it at that. Am I worried by that? No, I'm not worried by anything in OTAs that doesn't involve someone suffering a season-ending injury. But he's got to step it up. There's no doubt. And like I said, in the meantime, John Hoyland's done. He's acquitted himself well, and we're going to see what this competition looks like. And I'll also say, hey, these are the two names now. Come October, they might have a totally different kicker by then. They might have some veteran kicker that they've picked up because neither one of these guys is getting the job done.
Luke, I'm going to do something now on camera that I've never done before in 35 years on radio.
Oh, you're
I'm going
scaring
to
me.
hold my breath until I get the NFL investigation.
Oh.
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't do that.
I was going to say, you wouldn't want to do that. I'll turn as purple as my shirt. The All-Star Maryland Crab Cake Tour is presented by the Maryland Lottery. I have the Back to the Future scratch-offs. I don't know, man. It's summertime. Class dismissed. I need an Alice Cooper song. You're an old teacher. School's out for the summer. I've got senioritis. I've got Owings Mills. I got last place itis. I've got Yankee Stadium in last place itis this week. But thank God I have the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. Is our 27th anniversary coming up? If you're on the radio and listen to the radio at AM 1570 or stream us, however you find us, we're going to be talking about my 27 favorite things to eat, primarily because I want to promote 27 really cool local businesses that I actually go in and give my money to. Folks don't know about some of these places. Some of them, they're on the DL. Some of them, I just don't put up on social media. Many of them are my sponsors, and they're not even the things that you think. So it's not going to be 27 crab cakes. We do that every day. Although I did have a delicious crab cake from Clean Cuisine. My pal Jerry, I joined us over at the Y in Randallstown this week. We also had Councilman Julian Jones on. First time I've ever had Councilman Jones on. I spent about an hour with him, enjoyed it. He is the councilman in the 4th District, believed to be running for Baltimore County Executive. But more than that, kind of gave me a little civics lesson, and I appreciate that from Julian. And also, just you get a civics lesson when you hang out at the Y in Randallstown at the pool. And they actually were playing the YMCA song. They actually were playing the Village. I'm not kidding. I shot a video. I saw it in the pool, aerobics, 35 people, 2 in the afternoon. I text my wife. I'm like, how did I not bring a bathing suit to this gig? But I did not, but they did bring me a crab cake poolside, and I did have a great conversation with the folks at the Y, so we're appreciative of that. And when I say like the Y, I like people like Chris Pike text me say, "Yeah, I'm a member of the Y. I go to the one in Catonsville," or people say, "Yeah, I'm a Dundalk Y." So my next one will be at the Dundalk Y. It's crazy. A next show for the Y will be in Dundalk. But my next show for Costas will not be in Dundalk. I'll be in Timonium. We're going to be up there with Johnny O in early July. We're also going to be at Eldersburg at 1623 Brewing. And that's in July, too. And we're going to be in lots of places. I really want to do the show at Ando's over at Red Brick Station. I was over there. We're going to be at Zeke's Coffee on a Friday morning with Rasig and all the coffee mafia down there in Lauraville, David and Thomas Rhodes, all of them. And I'm also going to be at Di Pasquale's. I don't have the date worked out, but it's in early July. Pete Carinci's involved in this. So he's already texted me. This is Pete, right? I mean, Coach Pete, Coach Petey, summer coach in the leagues and camps, Petey says it's going to be the best show of the summer. All right, that's a high bar, Coach. But he did take UMBC to the Final Four in soccer. So it has been fun. I've had Barry Trotz on. I got a text the other day, Luke, before I let you go. And this is kind of the fun part of my life because my life is really weird, right? Like one day I'm in New York, one day I'm at Di Pasquale's, one day I'm at the bar here and doing this and over there and figuring things out. And you're in Owings Mills being a sports guy and I'm washed up. But I got a text on Tuesday night from Mark Bryan from Hootie and the Blowfish. He's like, "Hey, dude, I'm
Oh.
playing in DC Friday. I want to come on the show." I'm like, "Okay, the Orioles are in La—" He's an Oriole fan. So I'm going to have him tell the story of how I got them the gig doing the national anthem at Oriole Park at Camden Yards, and they were trapped on the golf course at Turf Valley, and the word didn't get to Darius. And the other three guys had shown up, and Darius didn't know that he had to sing the national anthem. And this is kind of sort of before Darius was Darius. This is like 1995. This is Only Want to Be With You, Hold My Hand.
Yeah.
And by the way, piece of Hootie and the Blowfish trivia, I had to write this stuff down. It's probably because I'm saying it out loud to the to Siri and the Google gods and everybody. Who else is listening to me? Microsoft, Elon Musk, Putin. Who else is listening to me? I'm not sure. But when I say hooting the blowfish out loud, I swear to God, this morning, 4 in the morning, it shows up on my timeline. The video for Only Want to Be With You. You remember the song?
Of course.
Yeah. Do you
Love it.
know what local celebrity and off-time visitor to this show, guy that comes on this show once or twice a year, is in the video for Only Want to Be With You? Can we give you a hint? I'll give you a hint.
Sure.
Now, this is because the guys, because Dean and Mark are from Silver Spring. They're Maryland guys. He a Terp. That's my only hint for you. I'll give you one more if you can't get it. And if you're more of a show guy, I'd sing to you and do some stuff like that. Because if I
Yeah.
sang Ease On Down the Road to Alan
Just
McCallum.
trying to think if I ever saw, I'm sure I saw that video because I loved Hootie and the Blow. I mean, everyone loved Hootie and the Blowfish in the mid to late 90s. It's funny, you made mention about Darius Rucker. That was back when you thought Darius Rucker's name was actually Hootie,
Right.
right?
He Hootie. He
Yeah,
Hootie.
exactly. No, tell me who it is. I don't know.
The Wiz.
Really? That's
Walt
awesome.
Williams
That's
is
awesome. I
in
didn't
the
know that.
video. Dude, this is
How
the
did I
stuff
not
I'm
know
learning.
this?
I don't,
How
how
did
did
I
I
not know
not know
this?
this?
Yeah.
And how did this show up on my timeline at 4 a.m. after Mark Bryan and I went back and forth yesterday on text? On text. We were just texting. Nobody knew we were texting. My wife didn't even know we were texting. Although I did say to her, hey, Mark from Hootie wants to come on a show tomorrow. So anyway, things are happening around here. So you never know who's going to show up around here, whether it's a councilman, whether it's John Hoey from the Y, whether it's Barry Williams, and not even the Barry Williams from the Brady Bunch. And I pointed that out to the Barry Williams, who was the longtime Parks and Recs director and also was one of the contestants in the So You Want to Be Baltimore County Executive. And I got to the bottom of that. So I've done civics this week. I've done a presidential mark with an F. Trump shirt on that I'm really proud of. It doesn't just have F. Trump on. Has it 5 times in Cheap Trick script. So I felt like the dream police walking around Patterson Park protesting the government. But it's been a hell of a week around here. We're bombing Iran. I don't know. We might even get out of last place by the All-Star break. I'm Nestor. He's Luke. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. I'm going to start singing Hootie and the Blowfish songs if anybody hangs around here.